This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
La
ilaha نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون ان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم آية المنافق ثلاثة إذا حدد كذب وإذا وعد أخلف وإذا اؤتمن خان. Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, we praise Allah the Almighty. We believe in Him, we trust in Him, we bear witness that none deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger and servant. We bear witness that whomever Allah guides is guided aright, and whomever Allah leads to error, no one can guide them. We seek refuge with Allah from the weakness of ourselves. Brothers and sisters, today, in this short khutbah, I want us to take a look at ourselves. I don't want you to look at the shuyuk in Saudi Arabia or Syria or Libya. I don't want you to look at the Muslims all over the world in Palestine, not today, or the Muslims in Sudan or Egypt. I want us today to take a look at ourselves. I don't want you to look at the a'imma, all the imams and the ulama around the world today. I don't want you to look at them. I want you to take a look. Oh, we want to take a look at ourselves. I asked a question about us as Muslims. Who's in the masjid? This Baytullah. Alhamdulillah. But who's in the masjid? The Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, "An-nas kulluhum banu Adam wa Adam min turab." Mankind, all of them are the children of Adam, and Adam was created in dust. So the one thing we have in common with 6.5 billion people on the earth, all of us are the children of Adam. But these children of Adam are divided up a little bit more. About 2 billion of them are Christians. So around the world, we have about 2 billion Christians. We have 1.5 billion, 1.6 billion Muslims around the world. And where are they? One third of them are in non-Muslim countries. Where are they? They're in the United States of America, they're in England, they're in India, they're in Asia, they're all over the world. So we have 2 billion Christians, 1.5 billion, 1.6 billion Muslims. We have about 800 million Hindu. 800 million Hindu. And approaching 400 million Buddhists. And about 16 or 17 million Jews. So today I'm asking the question, who's in the masjid? I would argue that there are two people in the masjid. Number one, Al-Mu'minuna. The believers. And we hope that's all of us, that we're believers and we're all in the masjid. And let me tell you who's not in the masjid. This disbelievers are not in the masjid. Disbeliever, they don't pretend to be Muslim. They do what disbelievers do. And where are they? They're outside of the masjid. They're not in the masjid. The believers are in the masjid. So the disbelievers on the outside. But there's another group of people in the masjid. They're called munafiqun, the hypocrites. So in the masjid, either we have the believers or the hypocrites. So today, we want to make sure that we look at ourselves and make sure that we are in fact believers and we're not hypocrites. Now I know, brothers and sisters, none of you ever watch movies. I know that. You don't know what a movie is, I know. But years ago, there was a very famous movie called Malcolm X. And Denzel Washington, an actor, played Malcolm X. And when you look at the movie, you will see there are a lot of people that look like Muslims. But they weren't Muslims, they were actors playing Muslims. And all you have to do is put on a costume and act like a Muslim. So you can put on a kufi. A kufi don't make you a Muslim. A jilbab don't make you a Muslim. A niqab don't make you Muslim. A khimar don't make you Muslim. Henna in your bed don't make you a Muslim. A turban don't make you a Muslim. A khamis don't make you a Muslim, because hypocrites can wear those same things, and actors can dress and look like Muslims, and you'll never know the difference. So who's in the masjid? In the masjid are the believers and the hypocrites. So Allah, He talks about this in Quran. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ عَمَنَا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمِنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا هُمْ يَشْعُرُونَ. Among the people are those who say we believe in Allah in the last day, but they don't really believe. Fain would they deceive Allah and the people, but they deceive only themselves, but they recognize it not. So who's in the masjid? It's the believers and it's the hypocrites. You say, oh no, I'm not worried about nifaq. I ain't worried about hypocrisy. Well, let's think about it. The Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, "Khayru ummati qarni, thumma alladhina yalunuhum, thumma alladhina yalunuhum." The best of my ummah is my generation, and then the generation that follows it, and then the generation that follows it. According to the scholars of Islam, that first generation, the best of the generation, are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who can argue that? Is anyone here think they're better than Abu Bakr? Anyone think they're better than Umar or Ali or Khadija or Aisha or Fatima or Uthman or Abu Huraira? Who among us are better than that generation? So we have the generation, the first generation, the best, are the companions of the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, and the next generation, according to the scholars, are the Tabi'un. These are those who didn't meet the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, but they knew of the companions of the Prophet. And I want to talk about one of those today. His name is Ibn Abu Mulaika. He's a Tabi'in, Rahimullah. He said, "I met 30 min ashabi al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I met 30 of the companions of the Messenger of Allah. كلهم يخافوا نفاق على نفسه. And every one of them were concerned about hypocrisy on themselves. They were fearful of hypocrisy. Are you fearful? These are the companions of the Messenger of Allah. They're afraid of nifaq. Are you afraid of nifaq? Or you think you got it made? You think you got it made? I don't think I have it made. And I want to give you an example of how Sahaba, how they thought. I want to give you one example of Sahaba. His name is Handala radiallahu anhu. He was a friend of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he met Abu Bakr, and Handala said something remarkable. Abu Bakr said, "Kayfa anta ya Handala? Kayfa anta ya Handala? How you doing?" And our brothers and sisters, these Sahaba are not like us. You know what I mean? Not like us. We surface. We people on the surface. But Sahaba, they're very deep. So when they say Assalamu alaikum, they mean it. And when they ask Kayfa anta, how are you, they mean it. كيف حالك؟ They mean it. But we, most of us, now I don't mean you guys. Everybody here is straight. I'm talking about those other Muslims. Like in New York, in Detroit, in Philadelphia, in New Jersey. But you guys, I ain't talking about you. But you know how people are sometimes? You gotta listen sometimes, right? And I'm gonna give you an experiment and you can try it. Go to someone and someone says, Assalamu alaikum, how you doing? And tell them, you know, yesterday I killed 10 people. They're gonna say, Allahu Akbar. Because they're not really listening to you. They don't really wanna know how you feel. That's just a formality. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? And they're going. Because if you start talking how you feel, they say to themselves, I don't really want to hear that. I just want to go through the formality. How you doing? You know, and then we go about our business. So sometimes you talk to someone, say, how you doing? He said, man, things are good. And you look up and you see they're gone. But the companions of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wa salam, they were real believers. I'm a true believer until you want for your brother what you want for yourself, right? So when you ask the question, man, how you doing? Your brother, I just found out I got cancer. I just found out that I have high blood pressure. I just found out that I have diabetes. I just found out that my mother is sick. I found out that my daughter, she's hospitalized. How you feel? Because a real believer really, really concerned. I just got out of prison. I remember recently I got a letter from a sister, and she's a Native American Muslim. She said, Imam Siraj, she wrote, she says, my husband has been in prison for 12 years. He just got out. And while he was in prison, he got a hold of some of your tapes. And while he was in prison, he watched the videos and the CDs, and he learned a lot about Islam. Imam, he loves you, she said. And she put his name in the letter and his phone number. She said, Imam, if you would call him, it would mean so much to him. It would make his day. He said, no, it would make his year. And she said, no, it would make his lifetime. All she wants is a phone call from Imam Siraj. A man who's been 12 years in prison. So I'm driving to Maryland, reading the letter. So I said, okay, let me call him. So I called the brother on the phone, and he said, who's this? I said, this is Imam Siraj. He said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. No way. Yes. Who's this? Imam Siraj Bahani. No way. So we did that for about 10 minutes. And after that, when he realized it was me, it was unbelievable for him. Imam, thank you for calling me. So we had a good conversation. Since then, we've spoken about 4 or 5 different times. Here's a man who's been in the prison and did some bad things but became a Muslim in prison. By the way, we have 350,000 Muslims in the prisons of the United States of America. Some of them became a Muslim when they went in prison, like Malcolm X. Some Muslims were already Muslim and went to prison. They made mistakes. 350,000 Muslims. And you know what? They come home every day. And one day they're going to come by your masjid. And they want to come in. How will you greet them when they come? When they come knocking at the door. If he's African American. If he's Latino. If he's white European American. Or if he's a brother from Bangladesh. How will you treat the brothers and sisters when they come home from prison? So the Islam is real concern. So I had a good relationship with this brother, alhamdulillah. So brothers and sisters, I want to ask ourselves the question today is, who's in the masjid? Now, I must admit that the scholars of Islam have two definitions of hypocrites. One is nifaqul iman. It is hypocrisy of the faith. There's a book I don't recommend you to read, by the way. With me, I read the Quran every day. I can't imagine going one day without reading the Quran. I just took it out and put it in my car. But I carry it here every day. I read the Quran every day, and I can't imagine not reading Quran every day. I mean, why would I not read the Quran? خَلَقُمْ مَنْ تَعَلِمُ الْقُرْآنِ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The Prophet said, the best of you those who learn the Quran and teach it, right? So every day, and I don't say I understand everything in the Quran. I don't, you don't, you don't, we don't, even scholars of Islam don't understand everything in the Quran. For instance, Alif Lam Mim. What does it mean? Sad. Hameen. What does it mean? Allahu A'lam. We don't know what it means. Allah knows what it means. And even though we don't know what it means, every time we read the Quran, Allah give us ajr. Everything we read in the Quran, whether we understand it or not, Allah give us ajr. I was in South Africa years ago, attending a conference. And the evening time, it came time for Maghrib. And I'm waiting for one of the, we had a lot of shuyukh, gray beards. And I'm expecting them to let one of the youngsters lead the salat, salatul maghrib. I mean, to one of the elders to lead the salat. To my amazement, they got a young guy like 15 years old, or 16 years old, and they put him to lead the salat. I got an attitude. I got a problem. How are you going to let this young boy lead the salat? You got all these scholars, or these shuyukh. So the young man led the salat, and mashallah, one of the most beautiful recitation you ever want to hear. And I was so excited by that young man leading the salat that I sat down there waiting for Salat Isha so I could follow him again. And at Salat Isha, they didn't let him lead the salat. They got a youngster younger than him. He led the salat. And he was better than the first one. So I got these youngsters together after salat. I said, Hafiz Quran, they Hafiz Quran. How long it took you to become Hafiz al-Quran? One of them says 6 years, one says 7 years, 8 years. And I asked them, do you understand what you recite? They said, no. And I would argue that even though reciting the Quran, if you don't understand it, you get reward. But if you understand it, you get more. And if you implement it, you get more. What does it say? You know, there's a very interesting verse in Quran. Ya ayyuhalladhina aminu latakrabu salat wa antum sukara hatta ta'lamu ma taqulun. Oh, you who believe, do not approach prayer while you are intoxicated until you understand what you're saying. Until you understand what you are saying. Until you understand what you are saying. Now, we're not intoxicated, but a lot of us don't understand what we are saying. Get my point? Who's in the masjid? Who's in the masjid? Are you afraid of the fact? Are you great? You good? Let me tell you one sahaba, and then we finish. I'm almost finished. Handala. He tells Abu Bakr, I become a hypocrite. I said, what are you saying? Now most of us, that went over our heads. We said, oh, mashallah, you'll be alright. You're a hypocrite, you'll be alright. So what Abu Bakr do? He asked him, what? Why you say that? He says, because when we are going with the Messenger of Allah, yudhakiruna bil jannah wal nar. Yudhakiruna bil jannah wal nar. He reminds us of the Jannah, and he reminds us of the hellfire. Anna ra'ya ayn, as if we are looking at it. And so when the Messenger of Allah alayhi salat wa salam, when he's talking to them, he's reminding them of al-Jannah, and he's reminding them of al-hell, of the hellfire. It's as if they are seeing them. And then he said, but when we go with our families, you know, we forget a lot of what the Messenger of Allah said. And Abu Bakr said, I feel the same way. Let us go to the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go to someone who knows. And alhamdulillah, Abu Bakr explained, alhamdulillah. And alhamdulillah, like, he's concerned, the Prophet, he's concerned that I'm a hypocrite. And the Prophet said, Ya alhamdulillah, sa'atin wa sa'atin wa sa'atin wa sa'atin wa sa'atin wa sa'atin. Oh, alhamdulillah, there's a time for this, and there's a time for that. There's a time for this, and there's a time for that. There's a time for this, and their time for that. So he said, listen, you can't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that all the time. You can't do that. If you did, the angels would shake your hands in the streets. So alhamdulillah, it feels okay. But are you concerned about nifaq? Let me finish. You know, admit it, we got Ramadan coming soon. A couple months, Ramadan will be here, inshallah. And you know something about Muslims in Ramadan? Everybody's on their best behavior. Would you agree that it's easy to fear Allah in the month of Ramadan, in the masjid? You're around Muslims. Right? Yeah, it's easy, man. Oh, man. To remember Allah during the month of Ramadan, you know, you're reminded of it, you're around the believers, you have an iftar together and all of these good things, and the level of your iman is high. But the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said two things. Number one, he says, ittaqillah haythuma kunta. Fear Allah wherever you are. You know what that means? You fear Allah in the masjid. You fear Allah in the presence of the imam. You fear Allah in the presence of your parents. But you know what? The Prophet says, fear Allah wherever you are. Meaning that if you're in college, if you're a college student, fear Allah. If you're in high school, fear Allah. If you're in junior high school, fear Allah. If you're in elementary school, you fear Allah. If you're on the street, if you're doing your business, if you have a business, you fear Allah wherever you are. Don't you just fear Allah in the masjid? Don't you just fear Allah in Ramadan? Fear Allah in Sha'ban. Fear Allah in Shawwal. Fear Allah in Muharram. Whatever month. Don't you just fear Allah in Saudi Arabia? Some Muslims were great in Saudi Arabia. When they lived in their home, when they lived back home in Pakistan, their religion was good. But when they moved to New York City, when they moved to America, they lost your deen. Why should you lose your deen? You should fear Allah wherever you are. Fear Allah in Europe. Fear Allah in Asia. Fear Allah in Africa. Fear Allah in the masjid, in the street. Wherever you are, you fear Allah. Fear Allah wherever you are. And the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, لَتَجَلُوا بُيُوتُكُمْ مُقَابِلًا. Don't turn your homes into a graveyard. Shaitan flees from the house where Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. How many of us are reciting Surah Al-Baqarah in the masjid? We depended upon the imam in the masjid. The imam, he recites, alhamdulillah, that's good enough. It's good. Let the imam recite in the Quran, in the masjid. But you recite Quran in your home. What is your homes like? What are the homes like? So brothers and sisters, I warn us to be careful of nifaq and make sure that we keep our iman intact. Alhamdulillah. I'm going to finish now. I want to be honest with you. I don't want to frighten you, because there's a difference between being a hypocrite for sure and a weak believer. There's a difference. I mean, you may do the deeds that hypocrites do, but don't mean that you're a hypocrite in your faith. You may be a hypocrite in your deeds. And I'll give you a couple examples and then we'll finish, inshallah. There's a Muslim store that I go to get my newspapers every day, owned by Muslims. All the workers are Muslims. And I've been going there for years, but one day I saw something, a sign that I never recognized before. In the store, there was a sign that said, no alcohol sold here. And could you imagine? I got so excited to see a Muslim store, because so many Muslim stores sell alcohol. So to see a Muslim store that says no alcohol sold here, I was like, mashallah, that's what I'm talking about, right? So I'm looking at no alcohol sold here, mashallah. And I look again, and I notice there's something else. It says no alcohol sold here on Sundays. Before 2 p.m. What? How honorable would it have been for there to be a sign for real? Because we're Muslims. You see, the question is, what's the difference? If we do the same thing the Kafirs do, what's the difference? Hey, I go to a store, another Muslim store, right? I go there, they know me. And the brother said, Imam Siraj, you know, we have an AMT machine. Is it haram? Is it haram? And I started laughing. I laughed so much, I was on the floor rolling with laughter. Yeah, Imam, I asked you a question. Is AMT machine, is it haram? And I started laughing, and I was crying on the floor, rolling around. And I said, brother, the reason that I'm responding this way, you asked me about an AMT machine, and you selling pork in the store. You selling alcohol in the store. You selling the lotteries in the store. All of this is haram. Why are you asking me about some machine? He said, oh, Imam Siraj, you stabbed me. What is that? Now, I'm not saying that these people are pure monastics. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that in the deed, there's a taste of hypocrisy. And I'm saying real faith means I do it for Allah. Now, brothers, listen. You young brothers, I know you like women. I know that. Your parents may not admit it. I know that. But you know what? You don't touch. You don't touch not because you don't like. You don't touch because you fear Allah. You don't drink alcohol not because you don't want to drink alcohol. You don't not smoke reefer because you don't like reefer. No. Dear brothers, I'm telling you, who are Muslims, you don't know them. You see, the Prophet said, "Kullu mauludun yuludu 'ala fitna." Every person is born in the nature of Islam, right? But some of you are blessed. Let me tell you how blessed you are, man. If you have parents that are Muslim, you're blessed. You have parents on Ramadan who wake you up. Your mother give you suhoor meal. Your mother read Quran to you while you're a little baby. Your dad send you to a Muslim school. Your dad recite Quran to you, recite hadith for you, all of that for you. I didn't have that. So you blessed. So many people like myself and other brothers here, we became Muslim. Alhamdulillah. We embraced Islam. We became reverts or converts, whatever you want to call them. But many of us who converted to Islam, who don't have Muslim parents, many of us did the same thing in the dunya that the people here did. Same thing. So if you had youngsters that went to the parties, we went to the parties too. If you had youngsters that drank alcohol, we drank alcohol. But the difference is that once we became Muslim, we let that stuff go. I have a brother in my masjid. He was on drugs for 30 years. He was on drugs, hard drugs, for 30 years. And he accepted Islam. And now this brother, he goes all over the country helping people get off of drugs. This brother is so good. He look at you and tell what drugs you on. Serious. You say, man, that brother there, he's on cocaine. That brother there, he's on crack. That brother over there, he's drinking alcohol. That one over there, he's smoking reefer. So if you don't want to be found out, don't go near this brother. Serious. When his name is Abdurrahman. When Abdurrahman come by, everybody go like this. Nifaq, hypocrisy. So this is hypocrisy of deeds. And we want to make sure that we get rid of all kinds of hypocrisy. And the Prophet said, I conclude, Ayatul Munafiq Thalatha, the sign of a hypocrite is three. Either kadhaba, either haditha kadhaba. If he speaks, he lies. Either wa'ada, akhlatha. And when he makes a promise, he breaks the promise. Either tumana, khana. And whenever he is entrusted with something, he violates the trust. May Allah make us of those who are truthful. May Allah cleanse our heart of nifaq and hypocrisy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us on the straight path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to love our Quran, to read the Quran, to learn the Quran, to teach the Quran. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت على الذين من قبلنا ربنا لا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به فاغفر عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا وانت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين والحمد لله رب العالمين إقامة الصلاة.
He didn't come.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
As though brothers and sisters keep the line straight, shoulder to shoulder, heel to heel. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا وسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون وإن كنتم في ريب مما نزل على عبدنا فأتوا بسورة من مثله ودعوا شهداءكم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين فلن تفعلوا ولن تفعلوا فاتقوا النار التي وقودها الناس والحجارة أعدت للكافرين وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرات رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأتوا به متشابها ولهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وهم فيها خالدون. الله أكبر. يا الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وَقُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَىٰ لَن نَّصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ فَادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنبِتُ الْأَرْضُ مِن بَقْلِهَا وَقِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَقَدَّسِهَا وَقَصَّرِهَا قال أتستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير اهبطوا مصرا فإن لكم ما سألتم وضربت عليهم الذلة والمسكنة وباءوا بغضب من الله ذلك بأنهم كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله ويقتلون النبيين بغير الحق ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون.
As سميع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة
some food from Dira restaurant, inshallah, and anyone afterwards who wants to stay to eat can stay.
I need somebody
to recommend. Where
are
you going now?
Iowa.
Iowa?
Iowa.
Okay.
The state of Iowa.
The state of Iowa. Oh, online.
I'm driving.
But can we take a couple of pictures and then...
Take as many pictures you want.
Inshallah.
But it's gonna...
In 5 minutes.
But it's gonna catch you. It's gonna cost you.
Assalamu alaikum. The Iqra Darul Ihsan fundraising dinner. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We are pleased to invite you and your family to our fundraising and dinner program at Masjid Iqra Darul Ihsan. But we need your urgent support and help to build our masjid along with Quran teaching, Nazra, and Hibs classrooms to serve the community in a better way. Almighty Allah's blessing will be upon you for your kind generosity towards our noble cause, which would be an opportunity for Sanafa al-Jariya, inshallah. The guest speaker will be Sheikh Munzer Talib, and this will be Saturday, June 25th, after Maghrib prayer at Masjid Ikra Darul Ihsan, 6 Suffern Place in Suffern, New York. As-salamu alaykum.
How you been doing, man? Yeah, heard the kippah.
Sure.
You give a good. So where you been?
How you doing?
I mean,
anything that's not possible, you got to be saying. High point, man. It's a lot. Everything.
How you been? You still working over there?
Call my number, my phone's in the car. 914 659 Is it just moving? Okay, I got my phone don't look like yours, but I have my phone's bigger than yours. I can get that fancy stuff. My fingers are working.
This ain't that fancy. They got some fancier stuff.
I know. But call that number, and this way your phone number will go into my phone as a missed call, and I can put you in. Okay. My phone's in the car. I want to bring it in and get one off. I think I have to turn it off.
Yo, man, so if you know anybody that needs them, like, I'll watch, you know, let me know. My brother, he asked my father, you know, because he's going out with my uncle. He can basically almost everything.
Let
these commercial people, like,
dude. I gotta find out this guy and got a contract that he doing with carpet. Because the guy gave us what we're going back towards. Yeah, he wanted me to do. We had a conversation for hours. He takes. I can't say checks. But inshallah, if he hasn't found nobody yet, then you know, it's all good. I've been doing that to this guy for over 20 years.
I'm going to call my father right away, father.
And I'll call him and talk to him about it. If he comes right then, if not, I'll take him over and then let y'all meet him.
Over at the place where I'm working.
Yeah, they're
doing, like, they do commercial property, though. They don't do the thumbtacks, you know, the thumbtacks that go along the wall. The carpet, they don't do that no more. I was like, whoa, what y'all doing?
It depends on legislation they do.
They didn't put no insulation. They just put glue.
That's right, they glued it.
Okay,
glue.
I see.
And
trade, there's various ways of doing good, what the you do. Everything is not a good tactic. It's good job. Everything is not a good tactic. You can do commercial with tackles and with move down. It depends on what kind of space you need for the area, what you need to use for. Then you decide which
best. It's much easier without the tackle. It's less work.
If you're doing the banquet hall where it's going to be flush, padding and tackle. If you're doing the commercial game, it's going to be used for a lot of recreation, it's glue down. If you're doing a hallway, because there's a lot of people walking in wheelchairs, glue down. So that is just what the areas need.
Okay, that would be smart.
Yeah.
So, dynamics. This place has a lot of wheelchairs.
Right, so you want the padding, because they'll make it bubble up. So you want to put it down that people in their residence.
Inside the house.
Then you put the padding
into the different way, you know? Yeah. So I didn't rent you as a child. And, like, open. It's a family business, you know. I'm working with my dad. My dad gave me a job, you know.
We need milk. We need young people. Somebody, one of your brothers go.
That was because
you're right. Get the food.
Who's in county together?
Yes.
All right.
But, yeah, this guy. If you guys can get it, even if you guys are on the stage.
All right.
You want to come in? Yeah.
All right. I gotta sit down, man. I'm tired. Well, I can't wait to tell you.
What is the date?
25th. Fiesta. Fundraiser is the 25th? 25th. Oh, okay. I'm starting to get old. Solid. Man, I'm tired. I gotta go back to work again, man. Assalamu alaikum. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Alhamdulillah.
I know about it. I already got one.
Huh? I've been working with him since I was 6. You know, but I came back to the stage, you know, to help him out with the business. McDonald's always takes something. Well, hit McDonald's up. McDonald's. Or if you don't want to work in no food places, you can work in
I don't have to.
You stay by yourself. That's what I do. I keep to myself. I used to live here in Spring Valley back in the day. Huh?
Yeah.
I was in our seat. I couldn't be in no other way. They only put violent cases in the ceiling.
Hey, the fire opened up and he jumped in.
Yeah, he came by himself.
That's what?
What sister
was telling you about?
What sister? I don't know what you...
That I had inquired about.
Where? 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 So, wait, 1 second.
But I think I figured out she was married.
Yeah, so okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Cute kid.
Oh, man, mashallah. Just wait for me.
You done taping?
Yeah.
I left one at 9.
I'm missing him, man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I'm making Okay. And who is that over there? Who is that? Well, like my salam, I'm good, and you? Did the brother give you my message? Huh?
Yes, he said try to keep up with you.
Well, I'm something bigger than you.
How was the job?
Which one is this?
Huawei.
It's the one you
took.
Hey, handsome.
Assalamu
alaikum.
You see him driving the car?
By himself. You see him?
Listen. He said, "We mind, man. Listen. Never give up.
Done.
Never give up.
Done.
For sure. So we're going to the other place, but never give up.
Wow.
The test is your test. And your test is meant to make you stronger. The more things you got to overcome, the more your iman increases. Your iman is only increased through having to face difficulties and situations. When you learn to battle those situations, you take a fear in mind, do what Allah tells you to do, and iman increases. Iman does not increase by having nothing to do. It means something to do. You must push against something to have power to walk around. Bottom line, you must push against something. If you don't, you don't have nothing to push against, that means you don't acknowledge it. Everybody got some pushing back. Even me. You understand? We all got our times and we got to deal with something. We all know human beings are nuts. We are not inaccessible to temptation. To, like you said, the man says, think that you don't want to drink how you don't got to go for the fear of Allah. Don't mean we ain't got a taste for it. Every time we get there, what we used to do, we think about it. And they know, hey, he told you about it. We're all faced with our own things that we used to be involved with and we gave up for what reason? For the sake of being Allah. So, the woman you want, as you says about it, the knowledge of Tawheed is a foundation. You have to sit down and learn about Tawheed. Remember I told you about Tawheed? You gotta know Tawheed where you would actually explain Tawheed in a way to that's your da'wah and explain Tawheed to people who don't know. They tell them about shirk so they understand what they're doing. So, you have to read it, you understand it. You say, listen, you ready? You gonna be cool with? Stay around some food. They bring us some food. What do you gotta do right now? You got a job to get to? You got a clock to punch?
Yes. Oh, we'll be back.
Yo, brother, if you gotta do nothing but sit down and do nothing, it's better than leaving here and doing nothing. Right? They got food coming. So, listen.
Somebody, I'm coming back. I just brought this up real quick. Maybe 10 minutes will take us to the food way back. Okay?
Go get it.